So then the Buddha is, I become Buddha in my foolishness.
Absolutely. 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 Right. In fact, in my foolishness, I realize my Buddhahood. In my foolishness, I realize my Buddha nature. So Shinran says, in Japanese, Shinjin is the term that's translated as true trusting. And he also says, Shinjin kore bushō nari, which means this Shinjin is none other than Buddha nature. So the true entrusting, this action, this activity of true entrusting itself is the expression of Buddha nature already. Yeah, already.
And then, so as I don't confuse the Buddha for my ego, you know, in this entrusting, then I'm asking here, what role does the other power have in it? I mean,
right, and so that's a good question. So in Shin Buddhism, we use terms self-power and other power. Self-power is ego power, and other power is the action of the primal vow, the will to realize this oneness, which comes out of the oneness itself. And the reason we use the term other power is because the foolish being we identify with self-power, which is ego power. I do everything myself without other people's help. How come other people aren't taking care of themselves, right? That's actually self-power. It's probably ego. So the reason we call it other power is not because it's out there, because it's not. It's deep within. But because it's other than ego. Other than ego. And so built into the Shin practice is constantly conveying the sense that it's coming from other than ego. Has anybody here read Zen Seeds by Shindo Aoyama? Yeah, Zen Seeds. So Shindo Aoyama was abbess at Aichi Senmon Nisodo. So she was the abbess at Aichi Convent, a Soto convent. But Aichi Convent is in an area where there's a lot of Shin Buddhists around. And they receive, you know, there's a symbiotic relationship between the Shin temples and the lay Shin communities and the Soto convent. And so she was influenced by that. So at the very end of Zen Seeds, she says, you know, to truly help people in the suffering world, one has to take off one's robes and become one with the people and share their life, including their suffering. And in this way, I always thought of my work as building bridges into the world of suffering. But now, towards the end of my career, when I reflect back on my work, I realize it was always they, the suffering lay people, who were helping me to live such a rich and deeply grateful life. They were the ones building bridges towards me. So in that aspect, that really conveys a sense of other power. I often have this experience myself, where I have an idea going into an event. I have an idea. This is the way we want to do the event. But then what's really most important is just for me to be open so that when the gift of the Dharma comes, then I'm ready to receive it. Just like I didn't know Andy was going to be here, but then he gave me a wonderful copy of his book, and then you know, he recited his beautiful poem. And that becomes part of our event here. Right? But my initial thought is always self-power. It's always self-power. Because I hadn't thought about Andy for a while, because he didn't come last year. He had been to the Barry event. That's how I got to know Andy in previous years. And several years ago, when he said, I'm going to publish my collection of poetry. I shouldn't even say these things. It just degrades the Udo brand. Anyway, it's too late now. So funny. And so when he came to Barry and he read some of his poetry then, I can't remember if Renegade Pinky was one of them, but I think it was. Yeah. Anyway, it was just... And then he said, you know, I'm going to publish my collection. Would you write a blurb for it? So I said, yeah, sure. So I didn't hear from him. I was wondering, you know, is the book going to come out? So it's so nice, just not just to see him, but to see it. So what I do, you know, the first thing I do is I open to see if my blurb is there. That's just a natural human impulse, right? But the Dharma leads me to overcome it and be open to the gift, the true gift of the book, which is, you know, his life, really.
What if it wasn't there?
I'll get over it.
The Buddha within.
Just too funny. There's always a way around something. There's always some way around everything. Yeah. So you know, but that's the thing about it is when my ego appears, it doesn't get in my way because I realize, oh, there's old Mark. There's my old friend, Mr. Ego. Hello. it's like a little pet now. Used to be a monster, but now my ego's like a cute little kitty. Hi. It still gets in the way, but not near as much. So there's a palpable sense that the depths of my being is revealed to me through the other, right? So Dogen says the same thing. When the self advances and confirms all dharmas, this is delusion. When I have my own idea about Buddhism, so this is the beginner Buddhism, big beginner Buddhism problem that I'm having with some of my colleagues at the University of Oregon, is the recent convert is overexcited and wants to, you know, like shove Buddhism in everybody else's face, when the best thing would be if they would just shut up and they could turn inwards and make it more their own before they start becoming, you know, the salesman, right? So this is what Dogen is saying. When the self advances to confirm all dharmas, this is delusion. When I go out trying to sell this thing as if I've already made it my own, but it's not. I'm actually doing it as a compensating factor. It's precisely because it truly hasn't become part of my life that I'm constantly going out and trying to sell everybody on it. But when dharmas advance and confirm the self, this is awakening, right? That means when you open your heart and your mind and let the universe in, and are able to embrace it just as it is, then you experience the oneness of reality. This is other power language. This is other power language because it's not ego power. But everything and everyone out there isn't separate from me. They are me. I'm just experiencing an enlarged sense of self. When I let the universe in, I'm not really letting the outside in. I'm opening the doors to who I am really already deep down inside, which is all beings are one with me. So we don't have to look underneath the surface much very deeply to understand that Dogen and Shinran are simpatico.
There's a line in Zen scripture, the Song of the Jeweled Mirror Samadhi, that says, you are not it, but in truth, it is you. And so we can kind of trap ourselves into, I am Buddha, Namo Amida Buddha, me. But that is not quite the same as recognizing that it is all of this too.
See, the mystery I struggle with on that formula is, you know, if you take the Buddha of infinite light literally,
right,
then you're dealing with, you know, a great, great thing, a great power.
Right.
So that when you do the formula Buddha of Namo Amida Butsu, you transform that into a light that you're able to bear.
Right.
And that's the light of the world, so to speak.
Right.
So the other then becomes, in metaphysical terms, something like a transcendental power that's
right
outside of the present world, but nonetheless constitutive of it.
Right. That's right. So, That's good. I should. Never mind. That's good. That's good.
As we've been moving through the precepts on Sunday and realizing that it's unattainable.
It's unattainable.
It's not possible to live by all the precepts. We're just foolish beings. We're all trying. Move things incrementally along,
yeah,
until the time when the two galaxies you're speaking of collide.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't matter at all.
Mm-hmm.
We only get 7 billion years left.
That's right. You know, the Buddhist, you know, the people who created these Buddhist scriptures and these Buddhist deities, just so, their imagination is just so remarkable. So there's a, Josh mentioned that my first book with wisdom was Shingon Refraction. So in my scholarship, I also read about Shingon Buddhism. And one of the scriptures in Shingon Buddhism is the Fuku Kenjakyo. So it's the, it's the Amoghapasa Avalokiteshvara Sutra. Fuku Kenjaku, Fuku Kenjaku, Kenjakyo. Anyway, and we don't have the Sanskrit original anymore. We just have the Chinese translation. So the central deity of the scripture is a bodhisattva. And I don't know if this is true of very many other bodhisattvas, but what we call in Japanese Kannon. So sometimes you guys probably chant the Kannon-gyo from the Lotus Sutra, right? Or in Chinese Guan Yin, originally Avalokiteshvara in Sanskrit, or Chenrezig in Tibetan Buddhism, the Bodhisattva of Compassion, has many manifestations, many, many massive manifestations. So you have the 11-headed Kannon, you have the 16-armed Kannon, you have the deer head Kannon, and then there's the Amoghapasa Kannon, right? And Amoghapasa means unfailing rope snare. Unfailing rope snare.
Mm.
Yes. It's like a lasso. Mm. And why do we have the unfailing rope snare? Because sentient beings are going in the opposite direction. Right. And you have to lasso them in against their better judgment. They're just going for the desire. And so you have to pull them in the opposite direction. This is so creative. That's the way we are, you know, obsessing over our things, over rank, and this person is, oh!
Is that Akalanata?
No, that's different. Mm-hmm. Akalanata is the fire deity, original Hindu deity. Amoghapasa is Mahayana invention. And even the deer skin Kannon is so imaginative. Why? Because deer are very interesting, right? We have tons of deer in South Eugene, and we find this, human beings feel this mystery and wonder with deer because they're wild and they won't let you touch them, but they'll let you come near them. And then they're very gentle, right? Because they're animals of prey, and so they're generally not aggressive. They can be aggressive if you disturb them, but in our neighborhood, because they're so used to human beings, they'll actually sometimes they'll let you get as close as about 5 feet. It's just like where that pillar is. But then if you take one more step, then they'll just walk away, right? And so there's this feeling of being connected with this mysterious, gentle creature just out of reach. And so that's the feeling of the deities, is they're so gentle and so there, and you can feel their palpable presence, but you can't touch them like another person. So the people who made the scriptures are just so creative in drawing out all human capacities in order to evoke and convey the sense of the Dharma. But we're like that, always wanting to run away from the enlightenment, what's best for us, because we're so caught up in desire, we need to be lassoed in. When is lunch until?
I had been thinking about one.
But yeah, that's good.
If we're done, then.
Yeah. So why don't we just take another brief break and then we'll have the round table. Let's together in Vash. Yes. So straighten out your spines and just have a good posture. Just become more aware of body and mind. And yes, 5 minutes.